Saturday. Is that in the morning or evening?
Morning.
That's in the morning at 10 o'clock. And the kindergarten's Friday evening. Friday morning also. So they're both in the morning. Okay. Micah 2. Next Sunday, we'll have potluck, and then it always kind of seems to be a little lull if we put it at 2:30 or 2, so we're going to bump it to 1:30. So that way maybe you got time to get over to the rest area, someplace, something. And the thing with Mrs. Lawrence is I'm uncertain what is going on with the service. Nancy just said, this is what's going on, and I want you to tell a story. So that's all we got, right, Jen? She wants other people to tell stories, too. So that starts at 6:30. So she'd probably do translate for Nancy. Then I do the short story and pray. Okay, so anybody wants to tell a story about Mrs. Lawrence? So Nancy is just one of those that don't ask, and this is how it goes. So we just got to go with what we got. So that's that. Okay, Micah 2. I think you can turn it down some more, Jerry. Micah 2. Okay, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do ask you'd help us to understand them. I pray that you'd help us to recognize that we learn from history that men seldom learn from history. And if we individually learn from history, then we can understand why things are going the way they're going, and that we could look forward to your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Old Testament, remember, that sounded better. Old Testament, is how God deals with nations, in particular the nation of Israel and Judah. So they become a type, in type, of all nations, or an example to all nations, so that all nations can see their example. So when they lived according to their agreement with God, God would bless them nationally in this certain fashion. When they lived contrary to the words of God, this is the progression down it would go. So we see in our culture the progression down as things are going, and it's like it snowballs. And it's really going down quickly in our culture. And so when we understand that from Israeli history, then it helps us to understand how we're supposed to react in our culture. We recognize that this is not my world. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so, sadly, Christian churches today usually think their hope is in politics. If we can just get rid of Obama. Okay? That's where their hope's at. Oh, if we could have gotten Mike Huckabee, he's a Southern Baptist pastor. He would have done almost the same as Obama. Okay? And our solution is not in politics. It's in the pulpit or the Word of God. So these Old Testament prophets like Micah and Amos, these guys usually would bring in both governmental things and spiritual things at the same time. Okay? And usually the churches today is strictly, you know, on the spiritual aspect. And so in Micah chapter 2, we're going to see some events that a lot of people don't recognize unless you're a victim. And when you're a victim of this, you quickly realize how unjust things are. And if you want justice, don't expect it from the court systems. Okay, Micah 2 verse 1, he said this, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, when it is in the power of their hand. Power of their hand. That's political power. Okay, and so now, here's a spiritual application. Say you're working on your job, and you've come to the end of the day, and your mind is really fried, and you're really coming up to a project that you just can't really think it through. Give it up and go home. Sleep on it, and often in the night, you might get the answer. I can remember we'd be working on the farm, doing something, building a grain bin, building a barn, doing this. We'd get to a point later in the day, and we're all getting tired, and Dad says, let's wrap it up. And then in the morning, he's, I know how we're going to do this. And I'm thinking, how did he know that? I was sleeping. Okay, but when you get a project going and your mind's spinning and spinning, and this last week, you know, my mind was spinning. Okay, we can do this, and get this ceiling. Got to get the ceiling done. Got to get it done. Got it done. And so if you get to the point where at night, or if you get up in the middle of the night and you have an idea, ideally, write the thing down because you're not going to remember it when you get up. And you get up and, what was that? What was that I was remembering? And so have a piece of paper and a pen by the bed. You come up with the ideas. And so in this context, these people are thinking of evil ways to take property from people. Okay, and so that's what they're doing. They're thinking of it. The power in their hand, that's political power. When I get up, I am going to do this. If you would look at Psalm 94, verse 20, sadly, this is how many political laws are passed, or what are called laws. But remember that a law, most of the time, is really an opinion backed up by a gun. What is a valid law? Okay, seatbelts? Invalid. I'm not saying don't put your seatbelt on because your car will beep, beep. Mine goes to, we're at 500. When it gets to 200, it stops beeping. So I know that. It's going to go through seven times. It stops beeping after seven times. Okay, but that's not a law. That's an opinion. That's a way to make money. A law is something that if you break it, you have offended someone. You have hurt or harmed someone. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, if I steal, I have harmed somebody. Thou shalt not kill. I have harmed somebody. That is a law. Okay, a good book to read. I wish everybody would read it. You can find it online. I've got copies down at Rensselaer. The title of the book is real original, called The Law, by Frederick Bastiat, and I don't know if that's how the French pronounce it. But it's a great book, great read, and it shows you what a law is, okay? If somebody doesn't get a license, haircutting, who gets hurt? Nobody. That's not a law. That's an opinion of way of making money. Okay, and I'm not saying that you don't get a license, you know, electrician license. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that a valid law is something where there has to be a victim. That's a valid law. Okay, most of the things that Congress passes, that the Senate passes, are opinions of 435 in the House of Representatives and 100 in the Senate, and that's just the majority. And in fact, they have special laws where the congressmen will go on, all during the week, they'll put in a little piece of paper in this box, and come Friday, they will vote on those personal laws or personal favors, and they're all in favor of the ones here, say aye. And it's stuff like, if you have red hair and left-handed, you get subsidies for painting your purple barn. And that's what's in there. And you can get government grants. Psalm 94, verse 20, sadly, this is the motive of most laws. Down a little bit more, Jerry, if you would. Verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? See it? Frame mischief by a law. Patriot Act. That is a mischievous way of taking your liberties by a Christian. Okay, frameth mischief by a law. A good read also is the ones that read Mark Stevens' book, The Adventures in Legal Land. Okay, just good reads. So what do these people do? In Micah chapter 2, they covet fields. Micah 2, verse 2. The ones with political power covet fields and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Okay, who does that? Bankers, lawyers, politicians. That's who does that. Eminent domain. That's who does those things right there. They go through a certain place. I like to get that place. Was it Mayor Daley? He just didn't like Migsfield. So what's he just busted up? And he gets no punishment whatsoever. They have political power. Okay, these people are not getting away with these things at all. Okay, if they're lost, they're going to face it at the white throne judgment. If they're saved, the Lord's going to deal with them. Okay, and so, sadly, the most respected people in the community, the bankers, the lawyers, the politicians, are professional thieves. Some of the biggest professional thieves in our country. The Saturday night guy that goes through Gary with his pistol going from 7-Eleven to 7-Eleven, he's a piker compared to these guys. Okay, and so that's what Micah is writing about. He's giving warning. They oppress. Okay, they take it by violence. Okay, how? I don't have a cross reference there. Let's see, letter I, maybe I do there. Maybe I put it over there. Nope, I didn't put it there. A good place to read is Leviticus 6, verse 4. Leviticus. And, of course, you know, we've gone through some of these, so I don't want to keep repeating it. It's just that we understand. And when we understand, one of the biggest things in life is, why is this happening? If we just get an understanding, it helps us cope with things better. Okay, and so Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship. Okay, right there. Lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered unto him to keep. If you have some possessions in a bank deposit, in your safety deposit box at a bank, did the banker tell you that if the bank goes belly up, that's theirs? No, they're not going to say that. Yeah, if they close those doors, anything in those boxes that they have in there, that's gone. Okay, they didn't say that. They didn't tell you that. Okay, then it says, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. The two approaches, first is deception, the second is violence, by violence. Okay, how does it work? If you buy a house, and you get your wonderful property tax statement. It used to be they never had any dollar signs on there. So you go in and say, I don't know what these numbers represent. Are they grains of rice? Are they kernels of corn? I'd love to give you 500 kernels of corn. I don't know. And I did that. Not that portion. There's another piece of property I had. So I wrote to tax assessor. I said, is this a tax bill? She wrote back, yes. I said, what do the numbers represent? I don't understand. She wrote back, we take check. I didn't say, in what form are you willing to take payment? What are the numbers? I never got an answer. Why don't they answer? Are we that dumb? Or they don't want us to know? Deception. If you don't pay what they want you to pay or whatever the numbers represent, the violence will come about a year later and they'll get it through a tax sale. Okay, that's the program. It's deception first. This is the American way. Deception first, violence second. The China way is, boom, right off the front. They don't hide it. In America, it's hidden. So we begin to understand these things. And so when I walk into the license bureau, instead of going in with a bad attitude like I always used to, I can actually smile and give somebody a track. Okay, even though I know the fraud that's being perpetrated against us. Okay, even in the driving, traveling, all those things. And so this is the destruction of a nation. We see our country deserves this. Okay, verse 3. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil. Now, in this case, it's a family that is coveting these fields. This family is in a political position like the Kennedys, like the Rothschilds, like the Bilderbergers. Okay, he says, the Lord says, behold, against this family do I devise an evil. I read a very small paperback book years ago called The Kennedy Curse. And the author was basically saying that, John Kennedy, what was his dad? Joe Kennedy? Joe Kennedy made his money bootlegging. Okay, and this idea was the Kennedy curse was the curse on the bootleggers making money off that through the years. And then if you look at the Kennedy family and how many have died through the years. And the author was saying, this Kennedy, this one, and this one, and this one, and that one right after another, and part of that curse. Okay, and so the Lord says in verse 3, against this family do I devise evil. Okay, I hope they enjoy it while they have it here on earth, because hell's the future. It says, do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. Okay, this time is evil. Micah is prophesying about the soon coming destruction of Jerusalem. He has a paragraph mark, and so sometimes we see something like this in that day. It's usually a second coming reference. He's sometimes jumping a couple thousand years. In that day shall one take up a parable against you. As soon as we see the word parable, we know that he's dealing with a dual application. Parallel, parable story. Okay, and so one shall take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation. So this lament and lamentation probably would draw us back to Jeremiah's book called Lamentations, five chapters there, describing Jewish people when Jerusalem was surrounded for 18 months by the Babylonian army and then conquered. So a lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. Yes, they are. Yes, they were. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. So they divided the fields, the heritage of the Jewish people, divvied them out to the Babylonians. He says, therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. So the prophets of their day, the people will say, don't even preach at us anymore. We don't want to hear it. Don't prophesy. Don't tell us anything. And then they say this, they shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. They shall not take shame. People that do not, or people that refuse to take the blame and look at themselves, are not going to ever find a revival. A lot of Christians praying for revival in this country, and until they look within themselves and say the fault no doubt lies with me, all the National Day of Prayers that take place around early May is not going to amount to a hill of beans. Not until the average American recognizes shame. Young people nowadays, young kids, the way they talk and curse and cuss and everything, have no shame, they have no blush. The blessing is not natural. They have to put it on their faith. And so people ought to be ashamed of themselves. But they're not ashamed of themselves. They're ashamed of you if you point out their sin. You're judgmental and all those things. So he tells them, don't prophesy. Now, Isaiah heard the same thing back in Isaiah. Okay, 28, I think it is. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Verse 13, he says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, the cross-reference Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's a cross-reference. Both those guys, Isaiah and Hosea, were contemporaries. Hosea added to that, he said, they had the knowledge but rejected it. And so this one looks like, oh, they just don't know better. But Hosea said they should have known better, but they rejected what they should have known. Okay, so that's what Micah was saying about prophesying. Don't prophesy anymore. Speak unto us smooth things. I think the other one I was thinking of in Isaiah is in chapter 30. That's the one I was thinking of. For us in the New Testament, it would be found in 2 Timothy, where it says that there come a time when they not, will not endure sound doctrine. And, of course, that's the churches today. I get notices from people often. Do you know of a church here? Do you know of a church there? Lady we know in Colorado Springs, do you know of a church we can go to? The best we can give her is in Divide, Colorado. And that's probably an hour drive for her. That's all the way up the mountain. At least on the way home, she can just put it in neutral and go all the way home almost. Okay, but Colorado Springs is probably one of the roughest cities on churches. I mean, spiritually, it's just a killer on churches, Colorado Springs. I think of one or two Bible believers who tried to get something going but just couldn't. And I don't know if it's because of Manitou Springs and the satanic influence in that whole region. It's just very tough on them. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. And you know, that is the general attitude of the church today. That is going all across the church, not just the charismatics, the fundamentalists are getting that way, and the Bible readers are getting that way. They don't want to hear it. So Micah is saying that in Micah 6, or 2, verse 6, and then verse 7, we have a paragraph mark. And it says, O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Is it lack? Is it shortened? Is it why don't you have the Spirit of the Lord? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walk uprightly? Yes, they do. That's the answer to that. Yes, his words do good to him that walks uprightly. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. The people of God becomes God's enemy. How has that happened? James 4, verse 4, when they are a friend of the world, they become an enemy of God. And according to Revelation chapter 3, in the church of Laodicea, Jesus is knocking on the church door outside the church, and he said, If any man will come in. And so it's all individual. It's all individual in the New Testament. The further a nation goes down, the harder it is to find a Bible-believing church. The harder it is to find Bible-believing people getting together. And this is some folks, their lifeblood is the internet. As far as getting Bible-believing preaching. We get a check probably on a monthly basis from a couple in Oregon. Because they just can't find something. And they send money here. And, you know, you can get on Bible. The best source to try to find something quickly is BibleBelievers.com, and then they have a link on the right of Bible Believing Church, and they've got every state in the union, and then you type it. But the problem is those will range anywhere from just King James carriers all the way up to Bible Believers. They will be King James, but a lot of King James guys really don't believe it. And so you're really not certain of it, but at least that's the best place to start. And so some folks just listen on the internet and try to get some things like there from off that or the reference Bible. And, you know, I get some nice emails from people about that. And, it's just really, it's getting more and more of a drought. Okay, so it says, even of late my people has risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Okay, there's a family from Germany that fled to America because of homeschooling. The German government was going to throw them in jail. And they fled to America, hoping that they weren't going to get extradited back. And the last I'd heard that they're still here. And the last I heard that they're not going to get extradited back. And so each state's a little bit different. Even our culture, like Brent and Jen in Ohio, they've got to jump through these hoops for homeschooling. And if it gets too bad, they're going to move up to Michigan. Because Michigan is more relaxed than that. Indiana, of course, not bad at all. But each state has its own little thing because each state's a nation of its own. So in this case, he says, from their children have you taken away my glory forever. Verse 10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Okay, this is not your rest. And spiritually, you and I can say that also. This planet is not our rest. Our rest is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our rewards are in heaven. This is a tool. This is a ministry ground. This is a warfare ground where God has placed us until our commander-in-chief calls us home. Okay? For the Jew, the word rest here is referring to the millennial rest. Hebrews 4 writes about that. And so he's not saying this is not our millennial rest. For us, it's not our millennial rest either. Okay, but for them, this place is not our millennial rest. And so for the Jew, that's what he's saying. Arise ye and depart, portraying the rapture. But and then it says, for this is not your rest because it is polluted. Okay, this world is not a rest. Why? Because it's polluted. And pollution, you know, just the idea of pollution, the EPA is constantly hammering on Americans about pollution. And they think the solution is government regulating things. If they think that's the solution, go to China, go to Russia, and see the mess and the pollution in Vietnam, you know, and all those places where government is running everything. And it stinks to high heaven. China. Boy, is it bad there. And so when government has got their fingers into everything, no, the ones who are concerned more so about pollution will be the private ownership of property. I don't want my property ruined. Okay, but then some people just live worse than hogs. I mean, pigs. When I used to visit bus routes in Chicago, the way people live, my pigs live cleaner than those people. I mean, the way hogs work is, you know, I'd put the straw on one end and the concrete would gently slope down so the moisture would go down. I'd put the straw on one end, the automatic feeder water right in the center, so then the water would just trickle down this way, and then that's where they used the restroom. And they were pretty organized. I mean, it was a pretty rebellious pig that went back into sleeping quarters. Dumb chickens, they go everywhere. But that's the way hogs work. And people are worse than that. And you know, that's a spirit. That is a spirit for people to live in clutter and stuff like that. I remember a house Jen and I knocked on. When we first started knocking on doors, we were in Thayer. And we went south of the river right on 55. And there's a house down there. We went into the house. And people would let you in your houses back in those days. And they had these chow dogs. You know, a chow dog with a black tongue. And we were told they don't stink by the owner. This is the only dog that has a black tongue, and it doesn't stink. But when you got five of them in your house, somebody needs their nasal spray. It stunk. It was bad. Okay, and so, but yeah, you know, people live like that. It's amazing. So he says, pollution. What gives us sanitary? The idea of putting your septic system over here and your well over 100 feet over here, that's Bible. The sanitation of the Bible, the health that comes from the Bible, culture that comes from the Bible. But they're not going to give credit to whom credit's due. Because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. He says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. If somebody is prophesying of drinking, strong drinking like this case, he is at the bottom of the rung of the ladder. This would be your rank liberals, your modernists down there. And, I mean, these people are so afraid, down in that route, they're so afraid to say anything against abortion. I mean, years ago, I think it was a long, long time ago, I was going from church to church in Rensselaer trying to, you know, doing a political thing and had this thing on, okay, this politician believes this, and I just gave it to this Presbyterian guy, and he looked at it, he said, abortion? He said, that's too hot to handle. He gave it right back to me. I think, you can't handle that one? Now they can't even handle the Sodom thing. And that's how bad we're getting our country. It's just getting worse and worse all the time. And this is what they get, verse 11. They get liberals and modernists. You know, and that's what our country's getting. I mean, you turn on Christian television and you're getting liberals and modernists. Verse 12, he says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Thank God there's always a remnant. Verse 12, there's always a remnant. But the thing about the remnant is that we always feel alone. Remember, Elijah stood against 850? If you throw in the 400 and 450 together, he stood against 850 and he said, I'm the only one. And the Lord said, no, no, you're not, Elijah. There are 7,000 that haven't bent the knee. And he probably said, are you kidding? Where are they at? The Lord said, I've got them scattered everywhere. Lord, why don't you let us get together? He's because I know what you do. You just sit there and enjoy the blessings of God and you won't do anything for me. So get out there and do it. And walk with God. Instead of getting your comfort from others, get it from me. And so 7,000 that hadn't bowed a knee in 1/4 the size of Indiana, that's quite a few. He just didn't know them. He didn't know them. And so the Lord's always got a remnant. Verse 12, that's a blessing to know. He's always got a remnant. And then he says, verse 13, the breaker has come up before them. The breaker. They have broken up. Yeah. That's all the devil's crowd can do is destroy things. Anybody can destroy something. Any kid can take a rock and destroy a window. Any hippie can burn down something. Any of them can do that. It takes somebody with brains to build something. It takes time, it takes money, it takes effort, it takes sweat to build something, to create something. And it takes anybody to destroy it. Not hard to destroy this country, and they're doing a pretty good job, aren't they? It takes some good men to build something, and it takes a nobody to destroy something. And that's where it's at. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to break, the breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate. Okay, the gate, there's our politician again. They've passed through the gate and have gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. There's going to be a day that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to fix it. And he is going to hit that big, he is going to hit that image right in the feet, and when you take a man's feet out from under him, he's going down. And the Lord's coming back, and he is going to destroy all these world kingdoms, and they're going to go to dust. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And if we're faithful to him now, then we may be, get to be a part of that. So we got to put up with this down here while we're here. But we get a trade for 1,000 years. So we got a good trade. That's a good deal. And the sooner the better on that one. The sooner the better. Okay, we'll stop there. We're at the end of the chapter. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to receive comfort from your words. So we studied Israel and how they would fall away from thee, and then you would rebuke them and put them under tough times. And Lord, help us in our country. Help us to be people. Help us to be that remnant. Help us to be that remnant that we might stay faithful to you and love you. And bring a smile to your face and be an encouragement to you. Lord, I just thank you for your words. Thank you for the record of history so that we can know the future by studying the past. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.